The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, the Executive Director of the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, otherwise known as MIER. Prof, thank you for coming to the show. Now, let's start with the organization itself. You are, of course, an advisory body, an economic consultancy. You have been started by the Ministry of, I think, by the government. You have received funding from the government, and you are supposed, I guess, in this incarnation, to provide economic advice and think tank research, independent research, economic affairs for the country. Let's start with your operational costs and how, as an organization, you're funded.
Yes, we are partly funded by government, specifically by the Ministry of Finance. Right now, we receive a small amount, around 1.5 million, but the Ministry of Finance has promised us that the amount will be paying to us on an annual basis until 2020. Our operating expenditure, of course, is more than that. Slightly more than that. So, but that amount in anyway, helping us a little bit. But for continuing our activities, we have to generate our own revenue from consultancy, but mostly from the again from the government as well, and also partly from other regional agencies in around Southeast Asia.
Okay, so your four main study pillars, your more four main research divisions involve macroeconomic surveillance and forecasting, policy studies, industry studies, and area studies.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the research that you come up with and generate must be A, independent, and B, of high quality. Now, the thing is, if your funding gets cut after the year 2020 and you're forced to seek independent means of funding, does this or might it not hurt independence and, in fact, quality of research?
Right now, we undertake research for the few states in Malaysia. We have just completed a research for the state of Terengganu, preparing the strategic planning, economic planning for the state of Terengganu. And also we have already completed a study for northern region of Sabah. I think lately things are quite difficult right now because of the condition, because of the economic conditions, and we try to continue to get our consultancy services, and we, of course, in the pipeline we try to get some jobs from Prasarana, for instance, and also from Lembaga Kemajuan Ikan Malaysia.
Yeah, so I guess you are in a bit of a conundrum, Prof, because I guess the quality of research and independence of research, I guess in certain instances, and I think in your line of work, government funding is quite necessary in order that you can continue your work uninterrupted and free of interference, as it may be. Post-2020, will your position at the MIE, in fact, will MIER also... its position, its tenability as a going concern, be under threat because your funding will be cut?
I'm not so sure whether after post-2020 the funding will be cut or not. But I think we look at...
You just told me the finance ministry have given you until 2020.
No, that is the promise that the MOF has is given to us, that our funding of 1.5 million will be up to 2020.
Okay, so then it could well be renewed.
Then after that, then I'm sure that we can continue talking. I mean, between the board of trustee of MIR and the government will continue talking about how to extend the funding and perhaps increase the amount as the activities become more and more demanding. You know?
Well, certainly it's been increased, I think, on a quantum of triple what you used to get in 2014. I read one of the newspaper articles from the New Straits Times. You revealed that the funding that you received from the government is in order of about 500,000 ringgit at that time annually. Today, you're 1.5. So You are getting a bit more. I guess the next question really centers on the independence and the quality of the research, which then goes to your staff and your workforce. Are you able to attract the best minds and the best researchers and the best economists to your fold when there's quite a lot of competition out there from ideas, from ISIS, from, you know, SERC, and even some of the private enterprises?
So, I think what we are doing in MIR, right, we have to look at our strengths and weaknesses. So, for instance, in MIR, my area, and also some my deputy, and maybe one or two person that we have there, researcher that we have there, the area of economics, especially the real sector economics. So if we know our strength, then we will strategize properly to make sure that our activities will be focusing on our strength. So, for instance, we will not, at right now, we are not deeply going into area of, for instance, monetary and money and banking, things like that, because we don't have the expertise, except we have one or two junior researcher on that. But that will not be sufficient. But our strength is more on the general equilibrium analysis of the real sector.
Okay. Now, in terms of the independence of MIR research, how independent are you? Is there an influence or interference from any other segments of society whereby that might harm your independence?
I think right now, I wouldn't say that there is direct interference.
You mean in the past there was?
Let me finish first. But if you want to talk about the interference, of course, there is always an indirect interference, because some of our remarks will not be
popular.
Will not be popular. So, but we are governed by the request from the board of trustees that we have to maintain independence. From the first day of our establishments, we have to maintain independence, and therefore, when we discharge our work, we have to do it professionally, and we have to base from the technical fact. So, see, when you look at some research works, analysis, even the same number can be interpreted differently by the different researchers, you know. So that's depend on the researchers, how we look at the numbers and how we analyze that. But what is important to us is where we should be able to defend the numbers from the technical point of view.
What kind of economic research was unpopular?
For instance, if we say something about the cost of living, for instance, or maybe something about the structure of the economy, which is, let's say, I would say that maybe we don't have enough level of productivity which is required for the economy, or we don't have enough numbers of skilled workers, or we have too many foreign workers, you know, and then we say that the foreign workers should be reduced abruptly, because that is a factor contributing to many economic problems of this country. We have to say that.
In the mainstream media, it's quite a well-known fact that journalists have been known to practice self-censorship because they are well aware of who their owners are. In your circles, do economists also have that mentality of self-censorship?
Oh, yes. Because as I said just now, we have to be professional. We have to be technical in our work, and we have to say our ideas carefully, you know, because it can be taken by some segments of the society in a different way. One is to get the numbers when we do research, and secondly, how to communicate with the public. I think we have to be tactful on that.
And how has the indirect interference occurred in the past?
For instance, if I make some remarks, you know, and that remark may not be popular to the government, but let's say the opposition take it and blow it up, so that is a that will be quite.
And then what happens? How do you know that it was unpopular with the powers?
Yeah, because I noticed that the idea that we are propagating this time.
So does it come in the form of a phone call or an email?
No,
or
no,
does
no,
someone
no,
come
nothing,
to see
nothing
you?
At all, nothing at all. But I guess when last time when we used when you we suddenly received about 500,000, I think that's a signal.
Okay, so that you're doing the right thing.
Yes, I think.
Okay,
yeah, doing the
saying,
right thing.
Saying something that was obviously aligned, yeah?
Yeah.
We are talking to Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, the Executive Director of the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, otherwise known as MIER. After this, Prof, we're going to be talking about the economic metrics of the country, including inflation, wages, wage growth, GDP, okay, veracity of sentiment, and our debt issues. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the grill this morning, we are talking to Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, the Executive Director of MIER, which stands for the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Now, Doc, Professor, let's talk about some of the big inflation metrics that are gripping our attention. Inflation, recently reported at 4.1% in October. That has a inconsistency, I think, at real pedestrian level with many Malaysians who do buy their nasi lemak, who do buy their tetarik, who do buy their rice and everyday essentials from the market. And they'll say, you know, 4.1% is not a true number. Do you agree?
Well, I always maintain that if you ask people in the street, they will say that the inflation number, whether 4.1% October or previously was 4.3%, they don't agree with it because that number is an aggregate number. So it represent the general price level for the whole economy, comprises rural and urban area or any segments of the economy. So for as an aggregate number, it's very difficult to capture all people's patterns of consumption. However, if we take the 4.1%, so what we can do, if the 4.1%, whether the 4.1% representing or not, we have to look at the headline inflation, that what you mentioned just now, with other type of inflation, food and beverage inflation.
Correct. Yeah. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that countries and economists try and capture a snapshot of the performance of the economy with one number, whether it's economic growth with GDP, whether it's productivity, whether it's industrial production, whether it's wages, whether it's inflation, and whether it's in fact sentiment and the barometer of sentiment. Is it time that economists relook at the way they portray economic performance and move away from this single-digit headline fixation to something a little bit more different, and whatever that might be?
Well, I think it's not only happening in this country, in Malaysia, but I think everywhere in the world.
Correct.
So, for instance, if you take the GDP numbers, people always think that the GDP numbers will tell us everything about
Correct.
The economy.
Similarly, if you told someone, say, for example, in retail, that the economy has just grown 6.2% in the 3 months between July and September, he'll say, between June and September, he'll say, that's not true because our performance is down or whatever. So, of course, it comes back down to the componentry, the weightage, et cetera, of the particular sector. So GDP or wages or inflation is not a... It's not an accurate barometer. Is it time that economists relook at the way they portray in economists' performance?
What you say is right. But I do not think that there is a solution for that. Because if you want to look at the, for instance, the GDP numbers, you know, And people always talk about the GDP numbers, the GDP performance, disconnect with the, what people feeling about their welfare. You know? But this, therefore, that's why we have to look at the other indicators. Beside GDP growth rate, we also can look at the household income, for instance, inflation, and exchange rate, something like that, you know. Yeah.
You talked on your website about how business sentiment is somewhere high in the high 70s. Now, again, it depends on which construction, which sector you talk to, which business segment you're in. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that should it be a process of evolution in the school of economics that these metrics are really closely examined and re-scrutinized in terms of getting there to more accurately portray the performance? Because at the end of the day, businesses and governments will use these numbers and these data findings to plan for the future.
Yeah. I think when we are asking a single indicator to portray everything, I think this is quite difficult. It's quite unfair. That's why I always maintain that we have to understand the various indicators and put them together and analyze it. So, for instance, if I talk about business sentiments, that is a perceptions. If I take numbers from GDP, that is a hard data from Jabatan Perangkaan. We don't only just take the numbers, but also we analyze it and put it in form in the form of growth rate. So this happens everywhere in the world. Even in US, in China, also the same thing. It's happened everywhere in the world because when you come up with the numbers, when we come up with an indicator, that indicator should be comparable, should be telling the same thing all over the world. If I say that about GDP growth about 6.2%, right? And also the number in Japan, for instance, in US, it will tell us about the same ideas. What is GDP growth rate is about?
We are talking to Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, the Executive Director of the Militant Institute of Economic Research, on the grill this morning. Now, Prof, how many years have you been an economist?
More than 20 years.
More than 20 years, right? Yeah. I'm sure that by now, most practitioners have a sense of the sector they're covering, whether or not you're an investment analyst or whether or not you're a journalist or a legal eagle or a doctor. You get a sense of the case before you, right? And you have a sense of whether that's whether the numbers jive with what your gut feel is telling you. Now, I want to point to the GDP number, 6.2% in the third quarter, 5.6 in the first quarter, 5.8 in the second quarter. So that makes a median average of about 5.9% growth for the country for the 9 months to date. Your particular research institute has said that 2017 growth will be 5.4%. That number is one of the highest among the consensus of economists in the country. Do you have the gut feel that Malaysia is doing 50 basis points better than your own generous estimates?
You see, when we put our forecast for the 2017, initially it was 4.8%. You know, so forecast is a forecast in the arts. After you master the science, it's forecast
activity. It's a different science.
It's an art, you know.
It's an art, yeah.
So after we know about the first half of the performance, then when the Jabatan Perangkaan put up a number of 6.2, and everybody, not only MIR, everybody is caught in the middle. So we have to go back.
Were you shocked when you saw the number?
Yes, actually, really. It's not only me, but everybody will say that it is unexpected number. But and then after that, what we should do, or what all the forecasters do, is to
go back to the numbers.
Find out the reason why it has increased that fast, and then it turned out to be, yes. If you look at the our crude oil price, even though it doesn't increase tremendously, but it does increases.
Okay.
It does increases. So that contribute to our growth performance.
Okay.
Okay.
So some countries in the world are suffering from what is called a two-speed economy. In Australia, there's a two-speed economy because the mining and resources sector is doing much better, Western Australia, than the rest of the country. In China, maybe retail and consumption is doing much better than, say, mining and metals, right? In fact, you could say the world is going through a two-speed economy because, like, the Brazils and Indias of this world and the Russias are doing much better than the Germanys and the France and the Italys at this point, right? So there's a two-speed economy. In Malaysia, is there a two-speed economy going on as well?
Our economy depend quite significantly in the oil and gas,
yeah,
and also at the same time on our electrical and electronic sectors, you know.
But you know, as Bang Negara has said, we have a diversified economy here. We've got retail, we've got banking, we've got telco, you've got media, you've got plantations, commodities, yeah, resources, etc., etc. So
yeah. Yes, our economy.
Just 6.2%.
You compare with other economy in the region. Our economy is quite well diversified.
Correct.
But however, let me say something about the electronic electrical machinery. You know? So our export depending quite significantly on this product, and in fact, it contributed about 1/3 of our total export. But people always say that when we perform better in electronic and electrical export, so that will also guarantee, or that will also spur our growth rate.
Part of your mandate at MIER is to provide advice and recommendations to the government. Now, in times most recent, what has been your top advice, your top recommendation to the government?
My top recommendation to the government is to reduce the numbers of foreign workers. Because I also involved in the Majlis Perundingan Gaji Negara, you know, which consultative council, and we see that the foreign workers is among the top factor that, or number one factor that causes a lot of problem to the economy.
Has the government taken your advice on board and tried to implement reform?
Well, if you look at the mostly comment in the newspaper, I think the government has taken the issues quite favorably. You know, I think the government is seriously now trying to reduce it. Our dependence on foreign workers.
Do you think that Malaysia needs to up its productivity? Does it need to really take a much more political, to be much more politically willing to reform education to up productivity levels?
Well, one way of to improve our productivity is through education.
Correct. Do you think the government is doing the right thing?
I think the government is doing the right thing. The government is trying to arrest this problem from the supply side, from the improving the from the education, but whether it will produce results or not, that will be yet to be seen. But let me add a few words on that. Improving productivity not only through education, but also through the kind of investment that we are taking in. The FDI, also the domestic investment. So that means if we take the right kind of investment in this economy, then it will change our mode of production from the labor intensive to a little bit more capital intensive. So that, I think that will have an immediate impact on improving our productivity rather than from the supply side. But I think anyway, we have to attack the problem from both angles, from the demand side, which is, I think, just now I said, from the investment, and also from the supply side, as what you said just now, from the education sector.
Professor, thank you so much for your insights and your thoughts. That was Professor Dr. Zakaria Abdul Rashid, the Executive Director of the Malaysian Institute for Economic Research, or MIER, BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.